Almost sounds like he's saying the same thing twice. I mean, nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom. But he's not. Kingdom against kingdom would be like Russia against whoever. But nation against nation could be translated race against race. Nationality, you know, people groups, not like the United States, not like China, but this race or this group of people against this group of people. And of course, we saw the tensions and the racial tension in this country, you know, not long ago. And the answer to that is Jesus Christ. Being born again and walking in the love of God. So that's an oversimplification. No, it is not. No, it is not. It is accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and then walking in love. I remember many, many years ago when Ben Kinchlow was on the 700 Club. Remember the 700 Club? You know, Pat Robertson, all that. Ben Kinchlow, black man, was as much of a host in those days as Pat Robertson. Ben Kinchlow is the only person I ever invited to this church that just said he could not make it because of his schedule. But Ben Kinchlow was on one day. Now, Ben Kinchlow had been a former Black Panther. He was on there interviewing a man who had been a former KKK. So here's this white KKK man and this former Black Panther, and they are sitting there and they are loving one another with all their hearts. And one of them said, you know, I just had this thought a few years ago, we'd have been trying to kill each other. Do you ever think about in the New Testament, you know, we know about Matthew, the tax collector. Well, you know, a tax collector meant he was working for the very much hated Roman government. You know, they came in just like Russia has invaded Ukraine's land. They came in and invaded their land and took it over. And so Matthew, the tax collector, is working for the Romans who are oppressing the Jews. That doesn't make you very popular with the Jews. And then most tax collectors were kind of cheating the Jews too. I mean, they're working for the Romans and they're cheating the Jews. Well, there's somebody else that you don't ever hear about too much that was one of the apostles. That's Simon the Zealot. Zealot was somebody in Israel at that time that they wanted to overthrow the Romans. They were extremists. Like a Black Panther, like a KKK, they were extremists. They were violent. They hated the Roman government. They were preparing for war against them. They wanted to assassinate them. I mean, these were bad dudes. And so Simon the Zealot and Matthew the tax collector are on the same staff. But Jesus changed their lives. And they loved one another. Amen. Thank God for His love. Can you say amen? Well, that's where you won't take up another offering for any of that, but amen. We invite you to turn to Luke chapter 6, or look at Luke chapter 6. It'll be on the overhead if you don't have a Bible. Luke 6, and let's read kind of a long passage here because this is found in Matthew, but it's kind of scattered all around. I like it here in Luke because he just puts this all together for us. Luke chapter 7, verse number 27. But I say unto you, this is the Lord Jesus, but I say unto you who hear... How many of you got ears to hear this morning? But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who spitefully use you. That means those who persecute you, those who abuse you, those who mistreat you and do you dirty. To him who strikes you on the one cheek, offer the other also. And from him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic. Give to everyone who asks of you, and from him who takes your goods, do not ask them back. And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. That's the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. But if you love, verse 32, but if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? Even a sinner can do that. Verse 34, and if you lend to those whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive much back. Verse 35, but love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for He is kind to the unthankful and the evil. Therefore, be merciful just as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. Glory to God. We've been doing some messages on how that, listen to me now, how that walking in love keeps the devil under our feet. Glory to God. In other words, how that walking in love makes it impossible for the devil to take advantage of us. See, we know this, and you must know this. It's extremely important to know this. This whole movement is about this. We know that in order to walk in all the blessings of God, that everything that He has provided for us, that we must know what belongs to us. We must know what belongs to us. We must know who we are in Christ Jesus. We must understand that it is God's will for us to experience every promise and every provision that He made to us. I mean, we kind of take that for granted, but you must know this. You must know what belongs to us. You must know it's God's will for you to experience the promises. Because so many people in the body of Christ don't experience the promises, and so their theology is wrapped around explaining away the promises. But we're not trying to explain away the promises, bless God. We're receiving the promises. Can you say amen? And then number two, not only must you know, this is extremely important, you must know what belongs to you, but you must know how to appropriate those benefits by faith. Even if you know that healing belongs to you, you still have to operate in faith, because faith is how you receive from God. Through faith we obtain the promises, Hebrews 11 says. So you have to obtain the promises. You have to receive the promises by faith. These are major, major, major reasons, these two, why many believers in the body of Christ don't experience in everyday life what belongs to them and clearly is promised to them throughout the Scriptures. Amen. Now, there are other reasons, and we need to understand this. There are other reasons, there are other causes as to why people fail to experience all that Jesus has provided for them. And we need to know what these reasons are so that, amen, we can avoid them and not allow the devil any access into our lives. Everybody with me? Praise God, we don't just need to ignore those things and say, no, none of that's important to me. No, we can know these things and we can avoid them. Amen. Because if we avoid them, that means we're being pleasing to God. That means we're loving God like we should love God. That means we're maturing in Christ. And then lastly, we are shutting the door on the devil in our lives. Because the truth is, the devil may attack us or attempt to steal from us or to take advantage of us. But he cannot defeat us unless we give him some sort of access into our lives. Amen. And then beyond that, there are spiritual laws, spiritual principles that we must invoke by acting on them in faith in order to receive the blessing attached to them. In other words, there are things that God told us to do, like the law of gravity. You know, what goes up must come down. That is a law. Something's called a law because it works every single time. If you don't interfere with it, if you don't mess with it, if you jump off a building, you're going down. Every time. Well, you don't take that for granted. I mean, I was just up in the mountains a little bit, and people get around those cliffs, and there's all kind of signs and all kind of warnings about don't get too close and all that. And there's parents saying, get back. Watch yourself. Don't get over there. Why? Because you cannot violate the law of gravity. You step off that cliff, you step off that rock, you're going down. And unfortunately, every year in this country, a few people, especially out west in the Colorado, what are those called? The Rockies, there we go. The Rockies, you know, some people fall down. You know you cannot violate that law. But when it comes to spiritual laws, people just kind of like, no big deal. You cannot violate those laws. None of them. Amen. And so we set these laws. They're designed to bless us, but we set these laws in motion. They're not set in motion until we do this. We set these laws in motion when we obey them in faith. That's not works. That's not legalism. That's wisdom. For instance, give, and then it will be given unto you. Humble yourself. Then God will lift you up. Be diligent. Don't be lazy. I can still remember hearing Norval Hazen saying, you know, God don't bless lazy people. Amen. Be diligent. Don't be lazy. Amen. Then you'll succeed and you'll prosper. And there's all kinds of laws. So acting on God's principles in faith, again, that's not any kind of works. That's wisdom. Glory to God. And you can say what I'm trying to say here in a lot of different ways. Recently, I read where Joyce Meyer put it this way. She said, the promises of God don't always come without conditions. Of course, salvation comes strictly as a free gift. God does bless us. He is merciful. And He does do certain things for us that we don't deserve. Even when we haven't behaved right, we can still pray for mercy and ask God to help us. Aren't you glad for that? But anybody who wants to live in the radical, outrageous, chase you down the street and overtake you blessings of God has to do something to receive them. You know, some people don't even desire them. Well, if you don't desire them, you're not going to have them. You ever thought about that? You know, Mark 11, 24, whatsoever things you desire. Well, if you don't desire it, it's not going to happen. Whatsoever things you desire. Amen. I said amen. So we must know about these blessings. We must desire them. We must believe God's word, cooperate with His spiritual laws and principles, and we must keep the devil under our feet and not give him any access into our lives. And the primary way, not the only way, but the primary way we do that is by walking in love. Glory to God. Ephesians 4:27 tells us not to give the devil any place. That means it's possible to give him place. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 tells us to forgive, amen, lest the devil take advantage of us. Glory to God. So don't be ignorant, it says, of his devices. So we can, you know, he wouldn't give us that warning and say, lest he take advantage of you if it wasn't possible for him to take advantage of you. Ephesians 6 goes on to tell us to resist and stand against the wiles of the devil. Well, one of his main wiles, one of his main tricks, one of his main things that he tries to do to Christians is to get them to not walk in love. Because if he can get us to not walk in love, then he can rob us of the blessings of God and move in to steal, kill, and destroy in some way in our lives. And I'm convinced, I'm absolutely convinced, I'm totally convinced that number one, some believers have just never really seen the importance of walking in love. They kind of take that as, yeah, it's a nice suggestion. It's not a suggestion, it's a command. It's a spiritual law that works. I'm convinced of that. And number two, that a lot of trouble, you know what I mean by trouble? Being sick, being broke, not being able to pay your bills, marital troubles, family troubles, financial troubles, mental, emotional troubles, trouble in relationships, trouble on the job, trouble in their business. A lot of trouble in people's lives is directly related to unforgiveness, or not treating other people right way, or because people are being judgmental and critical, or because people are using their words to hurt others. In other words, a lot of trouble in people's lives is because people are not walking in love. Directly related to that, whether people recognize it or not. Are you following me? Praise God. But many people don't recognize. They don't recognize that if you're offended and talking bad about others and not treating others right, that's why the devil has access into their lives. They don't make that connection. But we are not to be ignorant of the devil's devices. We are not to be ignorant of his schemes. We are not to open the door to him, to give him access into our lives so that he can take advantage of us. You know, there's two scriptures in Timothy that talk about how that people are in the snare of the devil. You know, a snare is a trap. How many of you know you don't want to be trapped by the devil? You don't want to be in his trap. Nothing good is going to happen with that. Are you listening to me? I said, are you listening to me? Glory to God. I said, glory to God. Amen. It's interesting that the Greek word translated offenses, you know, being offended, offense, offenses, offended. The Greek word translated offenses literally means, or literally came from a word that referred to the part of an animal trap that the bait was put on to trap the animal. In other words, old Rocky Raccoon is not just going to walk up there and go into the trap. You got to have, you know, something in there to attract him, some kind of bait. And when he took that bait, you know, it was that stick. That bait stick would trip and he'd get caught. That's what the word meant, the bait stick, where the food was kept, the bait was kept to catch the animal. That's literally the word that offenses or being offended came from. So don't take the devil's bait, see? Don't take the bait. It came to mean, over time, it came to mean just the trap itself. The word offenses, being offended and so forth, was the trap. And when an animal is caught, when an animal is trapped, when he's ensnared, that's not a good thing. When people trap an animal, they're usually doing that for the purpose of killing. And so when a Christian allows themselves to become offended, see, offended. That's where the word became meant to be, offended. When a Christian allows themselves to be offended, hurt, angry at somebody, resentful, bitter, unforgiving toward another person, then they've taken the devil's bait and they are trapped or ensnared by the devil, glory to God, where he can hurt them and rob them of the blessings of God. Interesting, isn't it? As we've said, and then like I said, there's scriptures that talk about different reasons, but different scriptures that talk about being captured by the snare of the devil. And all of his, or one, everybody say one, one of his main traps is offenses, unforgiveness. Amen. Don't take it. Don't take it. Don't become offended. I don't care what they did. Do not allow yourself to become offended. Don't go in and take the bait. Don't be like the monkey. I don't know if you've ever seen one of these. You can look it up on the internet where the monkeys, sometimes they'll have some kind of cage or sometimes it's a gourd and they put fruit in it. Sometimes it's a cage and they put a banana in it and the monkey reaches it when they want to capture one alive. So the monkey reaches in and he grabs hold of the banana, but then he cannot get his hand out as long as he's holding the banana. And he will stand there and he will scream and he will yell and he will have a, as we used to say when I was growing up, a hissy fit. How many of you know what a hissy fit is? He will have a hissy fit, but he will not let go of that banana, and they just walk up and capture him. Amen. Just let it go. Just let it go. And just don't take the bait. Don't allow yourself to become offended. Just let it go. Resist the devil. Forgive and walk in love. Can you say amen? Amen. And then, of course, to walk in love, to mature in love, and we want to mature in love because we love God, to mature in love and walk in love, we must become very serious about not using our words in some way to speak evil of another person. We've got to become very serious about that. We cannot violate this law, just like you wouldn't violate the law of gravity. And, you know, you're very careful about that. You have to be very careful about this. In other words, you cannot use your words to belittle or criticize or vilify. I'm just saying these different words, to slur, to defame, to curse, to revile, to condemn, to abuse others. Jesus said, don't judge, and we studied that out a little bit. What that really means is don't be judgmental. Don't be judgmental of others. We have to make all kinds of judgments in life, but don't be judgmental. Being judgmental is doing those things, belittle, criticize, vilify. Don't be judgmental. Don't be critical. Don't be condemning of others. In Matthew 7:1, Jesus said, if you're judgmental and critical, then you'll be judged. Somebody says, I don't believe a New Testament Christian can be judged. Well, take it up with Jesus. Jesus said, if you're judgmental and critical, then you'll be judged. You ever stop to think about it? Just the law of sowing and reaping is a type of judgment. If you sow negative things, the negative things you're going to have, that's a type of judgment. And that's what he says here in Luke. He says, this entire passage of Luke, yeah, that's why I like it. He says, judge not, don't be judgmental, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. And then in context, he says, give. See, as you look at the overall context, he's saying, listen, if you love people, if you're kind to people, if you're merciful to people, if you're forgiving toward people, if you give that, then that's what's going to be given back unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together. But if you're judgmental and critical and unforgiving, then that's going to be multiplied back to you in the measure that you gave it out to others. So we don't want to be guilty of that. Can you say amen? I said amen. All right, now, let's go to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. I love this passage. It is so very powerful. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. Paul has been talking to husbands and wives. And then in verse number 8, he says, finally, all of you, not just husbands and wives, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another, love as brothers, be tenderhearted, be courteous, not rendering, the King James says, New King James says, not returning. That means don't, first of all, let's go back to the word not. Not in the Greek is very emphatic, very strong, and it says, quit doing this. Stop it, or don't ever do this. Written like that. Never, never return, never pay back, never retaliate, never give evil for evil. If somebody does you evil, if somebody does you wrong, if somebody does you dirty, don't you return it to them. Don't pay them back. Never do this. Or reviling for reviling, that can just kind of go over our head, but reviling has to do with speaking evil of other people. So he says, stop doing this, never do this, never repay, never return, never give back evil for evil. I like something I read by Warren Wiersbe in his commentary. He says, as Christians, we can live on one of three levels. We can return evil for good, which is the satanic level. We can return good for good and evil for evil. I think that's where a lot of people live, even Christians, carnal Christians, that, yeah, they return good for good, but they also return evil for evil. So he says, he said, that's the human level, or he says, we can return good for evil, which is the divine level. He said, we must operate on the basis of mercy, for that is the way God deals with us. So never return, never repay, pay back evil for evil, or reviling for reviling. Reviling is your words. Reviling is abusive words, slanderous words, critical words, insulting language. Some translations don't say don't repay insult for insult or curse for curse. Not, you know, using curse words, but when you speak something evil about somebody, you know, that's a curse. Amen. So don't do this. But he says, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, scolding for scolding, slander for slander, criticism for criticism, but on the contrary, in other words, instead of doing that, here's what I want you to do. I want you to, but instead of doing that, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. How many of you want to be blessed? Amen. Most of you, that's good. Hallelujah. I'm just teasing with you. Glory to God. So when they do you evil or wrong or talk bad about you, instead of paying that back, amen, bless them. Bless them. You bless them how? By praying for their well-being. Why would you say praying for their well-being? Because if you're interested in blessing somebody, that means you want them to do well. You see, that's what blessing means. It's interesting. Actually, the Greek word for blessing here is eulogia, eulogia. It's where we get our English word eulogy. When you have a eulogy, usually at a funeral, you speak well of somebody. You never went to a funeral where they just cut them to pieces. I mean, you talk well about them. You talk about their good qualities. You speak well of them. You honor them. With your words, you praise them and speak well about somebody. That's where the word eulogia, our word eulogy, comes from, to bless. Amen. And the word means, eulogia means to speak well of, or to invoke or call upon God to bless somebody. So instead of returning evil for evil or cursing for cursing, what you're going to do, instead of doing that, you're going to bless them. You can do that by praying for them. You're praying for their welfare. Now, I know we hear that word welfare, and we just think of welfare in America, but welfare means their well-being. You want them protected. You want them to be in good health. You want them to prosper. You want them to succeed. If somebody's blessed, their welfare, their total well-being, they're prosperous, they're successful, they're healthy, they're happy. You want them to be comforted. You want them to have peace. You want them to be benefited with good things. If something good happens in your life, what do you say? Man, I got blessed. You say, yeah, but they're out there doing criminal activity or cheating people, and they didn't pay me back the money. They on and on. I don't want them to be blessed. You're not praying for them to be blessed in their wrong activities. For them to be blessed, they might have to repent. For them to be blessed, they might have to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. For them to be blessed, they might have to start walking with God and obeying His principles like they should. Amen. So you want them blessed, and really, the way this whole passage is written, it really emphasizes the speaking part The word part, you know. So you bless them with your words. And then it says, knowing that in turn, you will be blessed. Now, I know we do things for right motives and not just to get rewards, but you know, the Bible's just saying you're going to get blessed if you do this. So I like the way the Amplified Bible puts it, because it really, I think, captures the meaning here. It says, finally, all of you be like-minded, united in spirit, sympathetic, and so forth. And it says, never return evil for evil or insult for insult or abuse for abuse, but on the contrary, give a blessing. Pray for one another's well-being, contentment, and protection. For you have been called for this very purpose, that you might inherit a blessing from God that brings well-being, happiness, and protection to you. Oh, glory to God. Now watch this. Watch this. Verse number 10. For he who would love life. Now this whole next section here, verses, you know, 10, 11, 12, are a quote from Psalms. You can go back and read it. For he who would love life. Go back and read it in Psalms. Very clear. In other words, that means if you want to live a long time on the earth. He who would love life and see good days. That means if you want to be blessed. He who wants to be blessed, he who wants to live a long time on the earth, let him refrain his tongue from evil. You got to interpret that in context. I think we say keep his tongue from evil. He's not talking about you telling dirty jokes. He's talking about refraining your tongue from the evil of speaking against other people. Amen? See? And so the UBS translation says, UBS Word Study is very good, says from speaking evil or bad about others. So speaking here doesn't mean, you know, just saying wicked, immoral things. Here it clearly means, speaking evil means using your words to hurt others, to criticize others, to slander others, to revile others, to be abusive with others, to belittle others. Rick Renner, Greek scholar, says, refrain his tongue from evil in this scripture in context here means ugly words that when spoken hurt or damage or injure another person. Let's read it that way. He who would love life, he who wants to live a long time and see good days, to be blessed. You might be challenged, but you overcome. He who would love life and be blessed, let him refrain his tongue from using ugly words that when spoken hurt or damage or injure another person. Wow. And his lips from speaking deceit, are his lips from speaking guile. We miss that, especially in the King James. Guile. What is guile? Guile is deception, being misleading statements. You know how you can, somebody can ask you about something and you can leave out part of the facts because you want them to believe a certain way? That's deception. That's guile. And so you can talk about somebody because you're mad and angry at them, and because you're returning evil for evil, you're returning reviling for reviling. And so what you're saying about them, you leave out certain facts. It's misleading. It's deceptive. It's full of guile, and it portrays that person in such a way that causes the other person to think less of them. That's exactly what he's talking about here. If you want to love life and see good days, refrain your tongue from doing that. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. We know that we're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, but righteous in the Bible also means those that do right. And that's what he's talking about here. And the right that he's talking about doing is not returning evil for evil, not returning reviling for reviling. You got to get that. His eyes are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. When the Bible uses that phraseology, his ears are open to your prayers, that means he answers your prayers. You see that in the Old Testament over and over again. If he hears your prayers because his ears are open to your prayers, then your prayer is answered. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Again, what evil? Returning evil for evil, returning reviling for reviling. Are you getting that? That's so important to see that in context. Glory to God. Amen. Would you go get my book, Love the Way to Victory? It's right on my desk. I didn't bring it out here. Hallelujah. Amen. So let's read it again. Not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but instead bless people. Use your words to bless people. Pray for their blessing. Pray for their welfare, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. For he who would love life, he who would live a long time on the earth and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from speaking evil of other people, and his lips from using guile when it talks about other people. Let him do good. Amen. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Now, Brother Hagin wrote a wonderful book called Love, the Way to Victory. I think every Christian should get this book and just live in it. But in this book, talking about these scriptures, he says, listen carefully now. Have you ever stopped to think about it? That your tongue has a lot to do with the quality of your life. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. That's a two-sided coin. Of course, one side of the coin is saying words of faith, but the other side of the coin is using words of love. Have you ever stopped to think that your tongue has a lot to do with the quality of your life? It also has a lot to do with how long you live on this earth. And it has much to do with whether or not the days you live are good days or bad days. Amen. What you say has everything in the world to do with enjoying a long, good life. Now, there's other factors. You understand that. Has everything to do with enjoying a long, good life. The secret. Everybody say the secret. Of enjoying the secret of enjoying life and seeing many long, good days is contained in 1 Peter 3:10. Refrain your tongue from evil. Love always refrains. By the way, that word refrains, again, is very emphatic in the Greek. It means quit it. Stop it. Love always ceases to do this. Ceases or refrains from talking evil. Love speaks no guile or evil about others. And the God kind of love seeks peace with every person. You won't be able to harbor unforgiveness in your heart and talk bad about others if you want to see many long good days. Sometimes when people are sick, even though they've been thoroughly grounded in the truth of the Word and they make all the right faith confessions, they have difficulty getting their faith to work for them. They have faith, but they can't seem to get their faith activated. Well, why isn't it working? The first thing they should examine is their love walk. Are they harboring ill will or unforgiveness in their hearts? Are they speaking evil about others? Are they criticizing and backbiting others? Amen. He says, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers, and the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. We could read this verse like this. The eyes of the Lord are over those who do right. We could also read it like this. The eyes of the Lord are over those who walk in love, and his ears are open to their prayers. You see, there are no hindrances to your prayers when you're walking in the God kind of love. This is Kenneth E. Hagin. There are no hindrances to your prayers when you walk in the God kind of love, but the Bible says the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Every step out of love is sin. We could also read this verse, the face of the Lord is against those who speak evil about others. How does a Christian sin? By not walking in love, by talking about others. We could put it this way. Every step out of love is doing evil. Love works no ill to his neighbor. Love refrains from speaking evil. Love, God's love, would never say anything bad about anybody. When you criticize others and speak evil about them, you are sinning because you are not walking in love. Glory to God. Well, I'm going to read one passage and we'll close in Ephesians. But these are not isolated scriptures. We already saw what Jesus said about, you know, love your enemies, pray for those who use you, turn the other cheek, which means, it doesn't mean defend yourself, it means forgive. Glory to God. Amen. Don't be judgmental, don't be critical. Romans 12, 17 says, repay no one evil for evil. We just read that. You know, Peter's quoting Jesus, obviously, but then Romans, Paul said, repay no one evil for evil. Romans 4, 32 says, let all evil speaking be put away from you. By the way, when you read that word evil speaking in the New Testament, it always means speaking against others, belittling them, talking about them, criticizing them, talking them down, making disparaging remarks about them, portraying them in a bad light, abusive words. Ephesians 4:32, let all evil speaking be put away from you. 1 Thessalonians 5:15, see that no one returns evil for evil. Titus 3:2, speak evil of no one. James 4:11, do not speak evil of another. Not isolated text, is it? Any hateful word, any critical word, any putting people down, slanderous word, remarks about others and speaking evil about them. 1 Peter 2:1 says, put away all evil speaking. So let me just close by reading you this from the Amplified Bible, Ephesians 4. You're familiar with it. But from the Amplified Bible, listen to this. Do not give the devil opportunity to lead you into a sin by holding a grudge or nurturing anger or harboring resentment or cultivating bitterness. Amen. Verse 29, do not let unwholesome words ever come out of your mouth, but only such speech as is good for building up others. If it doesn't build them up, then don't say it. If it tears them down, don't say it. If it doesn't edify them, don't say it. Amen. Building up others according to the need and occasion, and it will be a blessing to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, but seek to please Him by whom you were sealed and marked for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger, clamor, strife, fault-finding, resentment be put away from you, including slander, that's words, along with every kind of malice, all spitefulness, verbal abuse, malevolence. Be kind and helpful to one another, tenderhearted, compassionate, forgiving one another readily and freely, just as God in Christ also forgave you. Therefore, become imitators of God as well-beloved children and walk in love. Actually, it says walk continually in love. So it's really impossible. Listen to me now. It's really impossible to keep the devil under our feet. You understand what I mean by that, to not give him place in our lives. It's really impossible to keep the devil under our feet if we don't walk in love. Which, if somebody's being selfish, they're giving the devil place. If somebody is walking in unforgiveness, they're giving the devil place. If somebody's not treating the other person the way they ought to be treated, then you're giving the devil place. If we talk bad about others, we're giving the devil place. God's love in us. Amen. Thank God. The love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. But God's love in us always does the right thing and says the right thing. Not just to get something, but simply because it is the godly thing to do. Amen. And walking in love shows our love for God. It blesses other people and causes us to be blessed in return. Can you say amen? And then this is my final closing. One paragraph. The end of this book, Brother Hagin says, every one of us, because this has been our emphasis, every one of us wants to receive all that God has for us in this life. But you understand that you will never achieve God's best in your life unless you walk in the love of God. Let God change your life with His love so that you can be a blessing to others wherever you go. If you want God to do good to you, you do good to others. Walking in God's love is the way to victory in life. Can you say amen? Let's stand up together. Praise you, Father. Hallelujah. Well, just meditate on that a minute or two. Glory to God. Lift your hands and worship God and praise Him. Thank you, Lord. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Bless you, Father. We praise you. We bless you. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. 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 Boy, we kind of got a hold. I think we, you know, in our circles, kind of got a hold of the fact that we shouldn't allow any unforgiveness in our life. You know, any bitterness in our life. You know, I'll jokingly say it this way sometimes that you know, if somebody said, man, we saw a rattlesnake. We came over to water your plants where you were going on vacation and we saw him. We saw him clear. A big rattlesnake just ran right under the couch and he's somewhere in your house. You wouldn't say, well, I'm going to have to deal with that. I tell you, Nana ain't going to sleep in that house that night. She may never sleep in that house again. I don't know. But you would find that rattlesnake and you would deal with it before you did anything. Well, we know that. Let me tell you, we got to be just as serious about the words of our mouth and not speaking evil about other people. It's real easy. You just get in conversations with people and they start talking about people and all that gossip. See, that's what's wrong with the gossip. It ain't just wanting to be nosy. It's usually during that gossip, there's a lot of evil speaking going on. And so don't let that rattlesnake run loose in your life this morning. If you need to, deal with it right now. And make a commitment for the first time. Make a fresh commitment. Take it up a step higher and say, I am going to walk in love. Yes, walking in love means walking in forgiveness, but walking in love also means I need to treat other people the right way. We talk so much about how people mistreat us, but there's another side of the coin. How do we treat people? And I'm mistreating them if I talk ugly about them. I'm not going to do it. I refuse to do it. If I ever make a mistake, I immediately repent. Amen. I said amen. Amen. Close your eyes. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Deal with yourself. Let the Holy Spirit deal with you. He's just out to help you, not hurt you in any way. Thank you, Jesus. I will walk in the love of God. Hallelujah. I will love others. Amen. I will think about others. I won't do anything that's going to hurt anybody else. If I start to do something, I think, well, you know, if it's, you see, people that are mature in love always consider, what am I about to do? How is that going to affect the other person? You say, well, I'm just doing what's right for me and my family. No, how is it going to affect the other person? If it's going to hurt somebody else, then people mature in love, don't do it. Hallelujah. Well, nobody's perfect in love yet except me and Jesus. No, I'm just teaching. But we're working on it. We're working on it. Can you say amen? Say, I'm working on it. I'm walking in love. I'm walking in love. Now, Satan, take your hands off my life. Take your hands off my mind. Take your hands off my finances. Take your hands off my family. You have no right to interfere. I have authority over you. I know that. There are no hindrances to my faith and to my authority because I'm walking in love. So get out of my life. In Jesus' name, I give you no place. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now expect things to change. I believe you will see. I believe some people are going to see some things change rapidly that you've been dealing with for a long, long time. Glory to God. I said glory to God. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. 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 I'm looking for somebody. I don't know who. Okay. The Lord said, you're looking for the devil, but he left. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. He cannot stay in an atmosphere that's filled with love and filled with faith. Amen. Amen. Mix in some good praise to that. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. But you know, the Bible tells you to put a guard over your mouth, you know. Amen. Amen. And so that's our responsibility to do. And we can do it. We can do it. We can do it. We can practice not talking bad about other people so much that it becomes second nature to us. For most people, it's just second nature to just gossip and talk bad about other people. But it can become just you do it on purpose so much that it's just second nature to think about them, to think about their interest, to put their interest above yours, and to always love. And you know, you get so full of love, somebody said, you know that, I'm not always perfect in love, but I went to a meeting one time in town. There was supposed to be five or six churches and everything, and a guy got, you know, we're all going to do it. And so we go. Long story short, but anyway, I get up there, and the preacher the first night, he got up there, and people said, you know, for 45 minutes, all he did was lambast you and what you believe in your church. And I said, really? I didn't even notice it. They goes, you got to be kidding me. That's all he did. Of course, I knew that he did, but it just rolled off my back like water off his duck's back. Now, there's other times where you want to get up there and just knock their head, but you don't, because you're walking in love. But you can get so full of love that it just, you don't even hardly notice that it happens. Can you say amen? Turn to somebody and say, I'm walking in love, praise God, and I'm going to watch my tongue. God bless you, God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. If you're watching us online, keep praying for Ukraine. Glory to God. We love you. We love you. Amen. Be blessed. Be blessed.